This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today, I'm speaking with Evan Wick, a former tax lawyer turned fintech founder who has built his career at the intersection of technology and small business finance. He's led teams at companies like Guideline, Modern Tax, and Puzzle. And today, he leads S-Works, an AI-powered back office in a box that helps small businesses simplify bookkeeping, payroll, and taxes so they can focus on the work they love. Evan's mission is clear: to build technology that feels deeply personal and empowers owners to thrive. Evan Wick, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Wow, Mark. Thank you for that introduction. I'm really excited to be here. Great to be with you, and fan of the show and the content you're making available for your audience. So really honored to be a part of that.
I'm glad you're here. I think this topic is going to be interesting to our audience. Before we jump into business, I want to hear about you. I want to understand your origin story. When did you discover your passion for what you do, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Yeah, I think I sort of see two intersecting threads in a lot of my career. I spent time working with accounting and tax. I worked as an accountant, went to law school, got an LLM, a master's of laws in tax. So that was really my specialization. And then moving out to San Francisco about a decade ago, switched gears and started working in the technology space and seeing the pace of technology innovation and what can be done has been really exciting. And within that, working at a lot of companies that focused on serving a small business clientele. So working on developing new accounting solutions targeted at startups, at Puzzle, and a Guideline, working on things like 401k and how to explain that to a business owner so that they can really get set up and get rolling. Then looking at that and hearing the questions that I got from my friends and people in my network around running their own businesses, building their businesses, talking to my father, who's a landscape architect, and hearing the challenges and frustrations he has around billing, expense management. I really saw an opportunity to create a new product for small businesses to better handle some of their back office functionality. And it's been a great opportunity to work for people I care about in trying to bring a new product to them to focus on what they love and not the some of the more bookkeeping-like things that are nobody's favorite part of being an architect. So it's a real privilege to get to work for a group of people who I just think are doing awesome stuff.
So S-Works is the company. Tell me a little bit about what S-Works does and why you built it.
Yeah. So we built S-Works based on conversations with people like my father, who's a landscape architect. And I talk to him typically on Fridays as I'm kind of winding down my day. And he tells me that, Dad, what are you doing this weekend? And he says, I've got to do taxes. And I think, Dad, why do you have to do taxes? You have three clients. They mostly pay you on time. You've got a couple simple expenses. What's going on here? And I realized that he's doesn't have a good stack or set of things in place. So he's spending a lot of time inefficiently. And we had conversations with others, smaller professionals. They've got a similar problem set of inefficient systems and layered with inefficient communication with some of their outsourced professionals. So when we think about what S-Works is, it's a unified layer of a strong technology stack. And when I think about the things that are involved in that, that's connecting to bank, that's connecting to a payroll system, that's bringing in that bookkeeping layer, and then integrating with that tax layer as well. So handling that. And then that's through a unified interface. We use primarily Slack, but really trying to meet people where they are as far as having a 24/7 available place to bring some of these questions. Some of the questions AI can't answer, they get escalated. Some of the things the AI can do by itself, and it does. And many of them it can't, and we handle operationally. That's what we're delivering the value of a FinOps employee that lives within your organization and that handles these things for you and that feels like it's yours and that feels personal. So I talk to a lot of people who say, I get stuff from my accountant or I log into QuickBooks and it doesn't feel like it's for me. I don't know how to make sense of this. So we use technology to try and make that feel more personalized and more digestible at providing plain language summaries that are easy to read and feel hopefully like an email from a friend.
So are you using technology and human resources to serve your clients?
Very much so. A combination of technology and human resources. So technology can do a lot and provide leverage to humans so that they can spend more time on the higher value and customer-facing side of things so that they're available to talk to customers because we're not spending as much time categorizing transactions. So can spend more time talking to you about what type of retirement plan might be right for your business.
So it sounds like a business advisor and a service provider are all wrapped up in one.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a combination of functions there for sure.
So primarily, it sounds like it focuses mostly on the financial management and the tax side of business. Does it also address the sales and marketing side of the business?
No, I'd say we, or at least not yet. We think that the business owner is the best person to be out selling. We can help flag insights like your customers haven't paid you or doesn't look like you've sent many bills. But really, it's trying to take a burden off that business owner so that they can spend more time either growing their business or executing on the work.
When you were talking to business owners and architects and before you developed S-Works, what were some of the challenges or mistakes you were seeing architects making that you wanted to help solve problems for?
Yeah, I think I saw a few different things that I continue to see when I talk to prospective customers of ours. I see people who are needlessly doing things themselves, and I see people doing their own bookkeeping in ways that are rather esoteric and sort of inconsistent with the needs of maybe their tax preparer at the end, actually. So not using a sort of standard bookkeeping platform, but doing it in Google Sheets and rendering things. And what that means is that they've created more work for somebody downstream to then take that information and doing anything with it. So they've actually, in terms of filing taxes and the other burdens that they care about, they've increased those by trying to do it themselves. We've seen people who have S corporations, who have salaries that are not aligned to any type of reasonable salary calculation, either far, far below anything that would be reasonable or that are actually with a salary in excess of 100% of their firm profit, which was surprising, and they were having cash flow problems, but based on just where their salary was set. So those are some of the things that we've seen and been able to come in and help with. We can also flag things like spiraling software costs, where we can see that somebody has a SaaS software subscription in the hundreds of dollars, so that's out of line with the number of people at that firm. So we can do a good job, I think, of flagging both changes there and flagging things that look to be different than the broader scope of companies we work with.
I speak with a lot of service providers and founders like yourself who work with our community. And I often find that many architects in our community know they need support. They know they need services like what you provide, but they don't commit to it, right? They don't execute on it. And often I think it's fear, right? That they are afraid to commit to it because they're afraid they can't afford it or they don't have the time to learn a new system. What would you say to those architects who are listening, who like what you're saying, but are afraid to commit to something like what you're offering?
Yeah, I think that's very right. That I talk to lots of people who sort of are aware that there's a better way to do things than the way they're doing them now, but that it seems somehow scary or not for them. And I think that there's just one, there are options out there. So you try making a few phone calls, or there's lots of good providers, and that when you're choosing not to embrace some type of best practice or making a change, you're still making a decision. And the decision you're making is to spend your weekends doing bookkeeping poorly. So you're actually, it's not that you're just able to put off this entirely. Rather, you're making a current decision to keep doing these rather expensive things. And they're expensive in terms of your time, but your time is valuable. I think architects, they're billing customers at hundreds of dollars an hour. So when you're spending that time not developing your client base and not doing that work, there is a real current cost that you're experiencing today. And there are other upsides as well in terms of better understanding of your business or potential more efficient tax structures or things like that. But I'd say that don't ignore the current cost of the decision you're making.
And they get more time to spend to do the things they really love to do.
Absolutely. Nobody got into architecture to do bookkeeping.
Exactly. Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, RCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at rcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to rcat.com/arcademy. That's ARCAT.com/ARCATEMY. That's ARCAT.com/Arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. There are many technology trends, and AI has taken over everything we do, right? It's in everything we do and is in every conversation. What are some ways that you're seeing that architects and small business owners can use technology and AI to impact their business in a positive way?
Yeah, I think that there's certainly a lot that we're seeing people do to bring AI into things. And some of those are pretty basic. You should be able, if you're depending on your email client, you can opt into this or get a plugin, something that's really just automating sorting, nudging, following up to a customer who hasn't paid you, or surfacing that you owe something to one of your clients and follow up with them. That's a great, very low effort thing that I think a lot of people are adopting AI for. You similarly, some estimating functions or first passes at proposals can be a great use of AI tools to sort of, you may already have a template that you like to use and you just want to provide a plain language description for this customer. An AI should be able to take your template, a few notes, output something. The other thing I see a lot of is post-meeting follow-ups. Can an AI help you? Quick recap, like what are the things that your client needs to remember coming away from this meeting? And that helps with keeping everybody aligned on the same page as a project moves forward. So I see creative professionals use those type of tools.
Is S-Works using AI?
Yeah, absolutely. One, we use it for some of the things I just described. We use it internally for meeting notes. We use it for drafting emails. We use it for some of those templated functions, providing monthly financial summaries where there's data that's maybe a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet and cash flows. And how do we turn that at scale into really digestible, easy to understand information for our users? That's an AI-driven process. We review those and sign those notes, but that is an AI-prepared product.
Are the services that you're providing also backed up by AI?
Yeah. AI permeates our workflows. So you see it in, we can use AI tools to pre-populate PDFs. If there's a government form that needs to be submitted by one of our users, we can populate that. Core AI functionality is coding transactions. That's something that AIs are really pretty good at. So that's the process of you're spending money, you're receiving money into the bank account. There's some context there. And then there's the additional context of what's happened over time. AIs are really good at saying this expense is software and can do it in a way that's actually not totally rote. So you just had a software company, a vendor of yours changed their name or maybe just changed the description that's getting passed through from your bank. Old systems used to get tripped up by that type of change. If it changed from ACME to ACME Monthly, the AI can easily understand that ACME and ACME Monthly and ACME Monthly Pro are all one and the same and can be grouped as software for the vendor ACME. So that's a core use case for the bookkeeping and something that AI is very, very good at.
You've been involved in several businesses now with S-Works. So you've seen lots of trends, right? You've seen business and how we do business evolve. And obviously AI is playing a big part in that now. But we were at the very, very beginning, right, of AI and what AI can do. What's your vision for, let's specifically talk about S-Works and what S-Works will do in terms of back office operations. How do you see AI impacting the future of small business?
So specifically for S-Works and the way that we deliver our services, and for, I think, a lot of small businesses, you can outsource less and do more, and that enables a higher level of quality and a higher level of personalization. I think there were previous models built with a lot of distributed outsourcing that enabled cost compression by finding somebody in a place with lower cost structures to do some piece of the work in our industry, that was bookkeeping. And the challenge there is that when that function is outsourced, the owner of that product knows less about it and is less able to be responsive to their customers. So when we started building S-Works, we said, we're not going to outsource these core functionalities. We're going to figure out how to automate them. And that really changes the paradigm of making the people who talk to S-Works customers powerful and empowered to answer questions and fix things rather than being beholden to a web of outsourcing. And I don't think that's just true for S-Works in our industry. I think it's true across a variety of small business players who are going to be able to deliver more value with a smaller team, automating segments of that work. I very much see the same thing as being true for architects and others. We're going to be able to compress some of those functions that were outsourced previously and get more control and quality there.
Yeah, I think many architects are looking forward to that future. Earlier, I introduced your company as your back office in a box. Can you talk about that a little bit? And what does that mean in terms of a back office in a box?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a lot of architects and other smaller professional firms, I hear people say, well, I've got to do taxes. At the end of the year, I want to file taxes and not pay too much taxes and not be worried about the IRS. And that is obviously important, and we want to support that. But there's a lot that needs to happen upstream of that. And that's what I think about is sort of these back office functions of payroll needs to be run. It needs to be run in a reliable way. And you need to check that the money's there to run your payroll, that that's processed appropriately, that any state filings are flagged ahead of that. You need to track your financials on an ongoing basis in order to ultimately do any of that tax compliance or do any of that business planning. So we think of this, we say back office in a box, aggregating payroll and bookkeeping or accounting functionalities. And when I say, why is it in a box? It's a little employee who might be half robot, half person that is responsible and accountable to you and is, you can really think of as part of your team that you're creating for your firm.
If someone's listening here today and likes what you're saying, likes to proceed with the services you provide, What are some of the things that they should be looking at in their business to prepare for that? Because obviously they're doing all this themselves or they're working with a small team. What are some of the ways that an architect can prepare to work with somebody like you?
Yeah, I think, one, there's a reality that everybody's got a day zero where you're thinking about getting that first client, that first customer. Maybe you're still working at somebody else's firm during the day, and this is something you're going to do on weekends. And for that, like the sooner you can start to develop some, I'd say, basic hygiene, whatever ultimately happens is going to be better. And so that's really working to separate personal and business accounts at the very outset. You know, I think you can often in about an hour really get set up in a reasonable way that's taking time to get an EIN number, register a bank account, creating some structure to bill your clients, and connecting that bank account to a bookkeeping tool. I don't care what bookkeeping tool. Wave is nearly free. Lots of people use QuickBooks. I worked at Puzzle and spent time there and have a great deal of affinity for that product. But that part is really almost secondary. It's just if you can get an EIN number, get registered, get some type of separation from your personal finances and then connect to bookkeeping, you're going to make your life a lot easier. Whether you work with Estworks in the future or anyone else, your future self will thank you for sure.
What's the first step they take to contact you or start a process with you?
Yeah, you can reach out through our website, sworks.io, or you can email me, evin at s-works.io. Usually we have about a 25-minute call to really make sure that we understand your goals, that they're aligned to what we do. We typically work with folks who are growing their business in some way. They've gotten through that first hurdle and they know that they're in this for the long term. Talk about the ways that we work, our pricing, those type of things.
So final question. This is a question that I ask all my guests. With your background in business and understanding our community, what's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I think blocking some time, I'd say each week or at least every other week, to just look at your business as a business, to look at, have I call this the Friday billing hour. It could be a recurring calendar event that you're going to see. Have I sent bills to my clients? And do I understand my financial position? And doing that on a recurring basis is going to build the muscle to understand some of the things that you need to do for your business and what direction you want to go. So I think taking time for that exercise, and then they can, based on that, explore those next steps.
His name is Evin Wick. It's E-V-I-N, Wick with a W. Company is S-Works. The website is s-works.io. And you can learn more there. Evin, thank you for the work that you do at S-Works. I think it's a service that a lot of us business owners need. And I appreciate you for coming by here and talking to us at Entree Architect Podcast.
Mark, it's been absolutely my pleasure and excited to support the Entree Architect community in any way I can.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors, links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, two a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days will give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember three words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire. all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.